fake news all day long. If you stand in line at the grocery store, there are some publications usually there in the thing. Rebecca peruses those periodically when we're standing in line. One of them is called something about the nation and inquiring, National Enquirer or something like that. People magazine. People magazine. Okay. And, you know, here's the deal. It used to be, you know, some of those publications, you just know that everything in there is a hoax, right? And then other magazines or publications you could pick up and you could pretty well trust that that was the truth. Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. Now you turn on to major networks and you never know if it's the truth or it's not. And it all depends on who's pushing the story and probably who's paying how much to have the story pushed. Right? And there's all sorts of motives for why they're pushing whatever the story is to sway opinions or whatever. Right? Anyway, I'm going to get into that in just a second. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. This is Easter Sunday, so I want to read to you a section from Matthew chapter 28. I believe it's the first 15 verses. So if you have a copy of God's Word, I would encourage you to open it or open your electronic device to push in Matthew chapter 28. If you do not have a copy of God's Word, there should be one under the chair in front of you there somewhere. And as always, if you don't have a copy of God's Word, if you don't have a Bible, we keep stock of Bibles in the office for just such an occasion to give away to people that need one or want one. So if you don't have one and would like one, I would like nothing more than to put one in your hands free of charge, no cost to you, because I believe there's nothing better we can do than to put a copy of God's Word in people's hands that want one. Okay? So there you are. Money well spent. Would love to put one in your hand. All you have to do is come up to me right after church and say, "Brother Mike, I'd like to take you up on a free copy of the Bible." And I would say, "Follow me to the office. I'm going to put one in your hand right now." That's all it takes. It's easy. It's easy. I'm not even going to autograph it because I didn't write it. Verse 1, chapter 28 of Matthew. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here." Can somebody say amen? "For he has risen," listen, "just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then he said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, for there they will see me." Jesus is risen from the grave. And I love this. I'm going to go on just a second. But I love this. the angel, the violent earthquake, the stone was rolled away. Jesus, listen, was already out of the tomb. The stone was rolled away for their benefit so that they could go in and see that he wasn't there. It's not like the stone had to be rolled away so that he could come out like Lazarus when he brought Lazarus. He made him roll the stone away so that Lazarus could come forth. No, we're talking about Jesus here. We're talking about Jesus. He didn't need the stone rolled away. Come on, you can clap for that. The stone was rolled away so that the angel could say, go ahead, go in and take a look. Go ahead, go on, see where he used to lay. Because he's not there. I like one of the Gospels says, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Not only as he said, but as it was foretold by the prophets starting some 900 years beforehand. Verse 11. This is where it gets kind of funny. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city. Now, let me clarify who these guards were. You see, the chief priests, they had gone to the Roman. Israel was under Roman occupation. Okay? Now, the Israelites, they were pretty much a religious-led society. Okay? So the chief priests, they were pretty much the rulers. Okay? Now, because they were under Roman occupation, they could only do certain things, and the Roman governor was really in charge. So they really kind of had to go to him for certain things. And they had to go to the Roman governor to get guards to go guard the tomb. So the Roman governor sent Roman guards to guard the tomb. Okay? Well, these guards right here in verse 11, while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. They didn't go to Pilate, their boss. They went to the chief priests. They were the ones in charge of guarding the tomb under Pilate's orders. Where did they go? Folks, they knew they were in trouble. The one thing they had to do, guard the tomb. There was a seal on the tomb, a Roman seal. They were there to guard it. They failed, although there's nothing they could have done about it, right? They failed. They didn't go to report to their boss. They went to somebody else, seeing if there was anything they could, trying to get any kind of help they could. They went to the priest. They reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. Verse 12. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money. Does this sound familiar? They had given money to somebody else before. Do y'all recall that? 30 pieces of silver? That's right, they'd given Judas some money. These priests are in the habit of paying people off to get what they want. Here they go. They gave him a large sum of money. And listen, this is where it gets almost stupid. Telling them, verse 13, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were sleeping. I'm a Roman guard. I'm on duty. And I'm to tell my boss, I was sleeping. And his disciples stole him while I was sleeping on duty. That's stupid on top of stupid. For one thing, if I'm on duty, I don't sleep. Number two, if I'm sleeping, how do I know who stole him? That's stupid on top of stupid. If I'm a Roman guard and I'm charged with guarding something, and I don't do my duty, nonetheless, especially if I'm asleep on duty, guess what happens to the guard? I die. Now, we're not talking about a single guard here. We're talking about a unit of 16 guards, usually in shifts, four guards on duty at a time, working shifts, okay? So at least four were on duty right then. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And the story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Fake news. National Enquirer thought they thought the thing up. Fake news. It's as old as the hills. The chief priests were peddling fake news at the time of this writing, which is most likely within the decade or two decades after Jesus' death. And the story was still being passed around. As a matter of fact, there are people still today that believe that story, still believe the lie, still believe the fake news. Why would the chief priests lie about the fulfillment of a prophecy that they have taught for hundreds of years? They have taught the prophecy that there would be a Messiah, and he would come and he would save his people. These same priests have taught that prophecy. Why would they lie that there would be a resurrection? Why would they lie about that? I can only think of two reasons why they would do that. Either they did not want the Messiah, or they didn't want this Messiah. Or maybe both. They didn't want the Messiah because, listen, they'd set themselves up pretty well. They weren't fully in charge, but yet they were in charge enough that they had things pretty well in hand. As seen in the trial of Jesus, they could still sway the Roman leaders to get what they really wanted or needed anyway. You see, they couldn't crucify because they were under Roman occupation and only death penalty could be carried out by the Romans. But yet they still swayed the Roman governor to carry out the death penalty on their behalf. So they could still really get what they wanted. They were, although not really in charge, they still had enough pull. They could still get what they wanted, so they still had it pretty good. Why would they want somebody coming in and messing it up? Why change the status quo? But listen, even if they did want a Messiah, why would they not want Jesus as their Messiah? Because as we stated many, many times before, they learned pretty fast that Jesus was not the military leader they were looking for in a Messiah. He was not going to turn the tables on the Romans and set up Israel as a free nation and make the Israelites a ruling empire as they desired. That is what they wanted. If the Messiah was not going to give them just that, then they just keep what they've got. You see, people aren't really all that different today. They will take Jesus as long as he makes everything good for them and or lets them be in charge and maintain rule. Or they just don't want a Messiah at all. Because I know it would require a change. And people are just resistant to change. Did you know that? People are resistant to change. Even people that want change are still resistant to change. Did you know that? It's uncomfortable. It's unknown. It's risky. So they just buy into the fake news. Maybe they even pass along the fake news to get others to believe the fake news so they don't have to feel bad about being the only ones believing the fake news. They don't have to be the only ones being duped. Or maybe it's that old saying, misery just loves company. But here's the deal. The truth is not dependent on whether you believe it or not. The truth is the truth whether or not you believe it. If you choose not to believe it, it's not the truth's fault. And here is the truth. Here is the simple, plain, unadulterated truth. Jesus was born of a virgin, sent from the Father in heaven to be a perfect sacrifice for our sins because we were unable to make the required sacrifice. Jesus really did live a sinless life and go to the cross willingly to be that sacrifice. Nobody drug him to the cross. He went willingly. He really did die on that cross. He didn't faint. He wasn't in a coma. He didn't get revived in a tomb. He really did die. And 3 days later, he really did rise from the dead, just like he said he would, and just like the prophets foretold he would. 40 days later, he really did ascend back to the Father, where he is interceding for you and me today, waiting to come and take his followers to heaven. And one day he will come in power. One day he will come in power with his followers behind him to rule and to reign. The only question is, will you be with him? Remember, the truth is the truth, whether you believe it or not. And the truth is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through him. And folks, listen, I have staked my life on this truth. I have no regrets, and I am unbending in my decision. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Folks, there will always be skeptics. There will always be those who jump and believe the fake news before they even begin to believe the truth. There will always be those who prefer to believe the lie instead of the truth. For whatever reasons. Maybe because the truth is uncomfortable. Maybe because the truth gets a little up in your business. Maybe because the truth is a little confrontational. Maybe because the truth gets a little too personal. Let me tell you, they don't call it a personal relationship with Christ for nothing. It is very personal. Jesus is the truth. Folks, the resurrection is foundational. It's why he came. I can't state that enough. It's why he came. He came to go to the cross. And that's where the penalty was paid. That's where the debt was paid for you and for me. And I suppose it could have ended there. But yet Jesus came not just to pay the price, but to fulfill prophecy. And the prophecy was that he would rise from the dead. To prove that he didn't just come and die as a martyr, but that he is a living God. Folks, we serve a risen Savior. That's what sets Christianity apart from every other religion. Every other religion. We serve a risen Savior. He is alive. He is alive. And doing well. And he's coming back. And he's coming back. We know not the time nor the hour. But he is coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? There's coming a day when he will rise. Excuse me, when he will descend and he will meet us in the clouds. It's called the rapture. No signs have to be given for that to happen. It could happen 3 seconds from now. There are signs to be fulfilled for the second coming when he comes to the earth in power. But when he comes in the clouds, nothing has to be fulfilled. He could come at any moment and take his believers to rapture to come up to him and take us to heaven. Then the tribulation and all that begins, and then he comes back in power. His believers in tow. Folks, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but folks, we never know. We never know. Disasters, tragedies, health. Folks, we just never know. I want you to be prepared. Are you prepared? There is no time like the present. I can't urge you enough. I'm not trying to scare you. I don't want to do that. I can't convict you. I can't convince you. All I'm saying to you is, I want you to open your heart, open your mind to the Holy Spirit's prompting. And if he is prompting you, let me just encourage you, don't you put that off. Don't you put that off. You respond to him. You respond to him. Mike can't save you. I cannot save you. I would if I could, but I can't. I'm sorry. There's only one that can, and his name is Jesus. He's already done the work. All you have to do is accept it. He rose from the dead. It really did happen. It really did happen. It's the truth. Do you believe it? Will you receive it? Father in heaven, thank you for the day that we celebrate the resurrection. Lord, I can almost picture it in my mind, bursting forth in glory from the tomb. Not stepping out timidly. Lord, I can just... I can't even describe the vision I have in my mind of you coming out of that grave. And Lord, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful that you did. Because it's what sets us apart. That we serve a living, risen Savior. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the cross, for paying the debt that I owed and I could not pay. And you owed nothing. And you did it anyway just for me. And then you rose from the dead. Lord, not only did it show us that you have the power of life, for you, but you've promised in your word that that same power will be granted to me in the resurrection that I will receive, because I am a believer and I'm a follower in you. I am a Christ follower. and I will receive a resurrection. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you that I will see you face to face one day. And not only that, but I will be reunited with my father one day. And my mother, and my brother. And I would very much like that. I look forward to that. But seeing you face to face. Face to face for the very first time. Physically. Lord, I just like the song says, I don't even know what I will do. Will I stand? Will I kneel? Will I fall? I don't know, Lord. I can't wait. I can't wait to find out. Maybe I'll do it all. Lord, as I'm preaching today, I just can't help but think that as we worship today, Lord, as we celebrate the resurrection, Lord, it ought to be a celebration. It ought to be a celebration. Lord, there is no other event in the history of mankind that is worthy of more celebration than the resurrection. But yet I find, Lord, that we celebrate much more enthusiastically other things. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for that. Lord, help us to honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.